histoire s'écrit ici. Ici, c'est Paris.
After days, weeks, months, years of speculation, Kylian Mbappe will stay at PSG. It was confirmed today. Hello and welcome to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the program Jan and Gab. We'll be here in a moment. Confirmation then, till 2025, Kylian Mbappe remains a PSG player and becomes very, very rich in the process. As promised then, Gab and Jules are with us, but Craig, I'm kind of drawn to you first, just to get your initial reaction
Jules.
To it.
Jan.
Jules.
Oh, sorry, Jan.
Jules.
Jan and Gab are right. Here.
Where is Jules, by the way?
He's partying, isn't he? He's loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
Brian Thomas, how are you?
Where's Jules when you need him, man? You know what I mean? On the big day, yep. He's nowhere to be seen. He'll be off earning some coins somewhere
else.
I
don't imagine it.
Oh, but I'm a little shocked, actually. Look, everybody makes a decision for whatever reasons. We talked on yesterday's show, as we've talked on many shows. Real Madrid and Barcelona in particular are two of the pinnacle clubs in this sport. Not many get a chance to go to them. Not many get a chance to go there as a Galactico. Not many get a chance there to go there as the club's evolving and stamp your authority in one of the great leagues in Europe, at one of the great clubs. And I think it's an awful shame for him that he's not going to do that. Quite frankly, from my own point of view, I look forward to see what he does in the Champions League. And I couldn't give a stuff what he does in France, in Ligue 1. And I think that will be, that's not an ignorant view, I think that'll be the view of a lot of people. And that's not to say that it's not important to him, it's not important in France. Of course it is, I'm sure it is, Ligue 1. But outside of France, it doesn't really travel and it doesn't really resonate. And I felt that he was going to go in there and really make another step in his career at one of the most pressurised clubs on the planet. And for whatever reason, finances or home life or home country, whatever it is, he's decided not to do it. And I'm a little disappointed I'm not going to be seeing him playing in La Liga next year.
You agree, Jan?
Well, I said on the show many months ago that I reminded you today, Dan, that I had always had a feeling that he would stay in Paris. And that was down to the Qatari owners coming up the Qatari World Cup now. There was no way they will let him go. Somehow they will find a way to do it. I follow a lot of what Craig is saying, but still, it's a day from wrong names today, Brian. I understand what Craig is saying, but like he's saying, there are so many reasons for decisions. The young lad is a world champion. He has achieved things. When he's finished with his career, he is still a young man. And I think this is all down to timing. I don't buy this financial kind of thing because I think that, yes, he will have an unbelievable contract in Paris now, but he would have got a great, great contract in Madrid as well. So I don't think that would have made the big thing. He will be now heading a big, big project called PSG. PSG will be a project for many, many years now. They've been in the final, remember, in the Champions League, so they're not so far off. But I think that the rest of the neutral football world would love to see him going to Real Madrid and take the next step, playing with Benzema, playing with all the great players there. But I think we have to respect his decision. And I don't think it's just down to finances.
But just from a footballing perspective, Jan, the best player in the world, you want to see week in, week out being tested, don't you?
Yeah, fair point, but I think it's hard to sit here and talk a league down. You can say you can go to Spain and there are some easy games there too. Yes, you can't compare the league at all, but my point is as PSG has been very close to winning the Champions League. If you compare with some English club, they've been very, very close to win the Champions League. So I think it's down to timing. As I said all the time, Dan, Qatari owners, PSG, Qatari World Cup coming up in December, I think that somehow that has been the case. They just had to do something. And I think is more embarrassing, this suing thing from the Spanish Football League or whatever come out of there than he's signing for 3 years in Paris.
Yeah, we'll address that a little later on. Gab, how much was money a factor in this? What sort of figures are we talking here?
There's so many figures being bandied about. What we understand from the Paris Saint-Germain end is that they're talking 40 million euros a year, which I better transfer it weekly into pounds off the top of my head to give you a general sense. It's something in the order of 700, 800,000 pounds a week. It's basically around about Gareth Bale type money. That's what they're saying on the Paris Saint-Germain end. Elsewhere, people are throwing out much bigger numbers. They're talking about massive signing bonuses. This will all come out in the wash, how much he's actually making, because there's pretty strict oversight in France, and we'll see what the number is. I like Jan, I struggle with this to kind of understand it. It seems strange to me that, you know, whatever the number is, he's going to make an enormous amount of money in Madrid as well, and he's young, and he would have had more commercial opportunities. He would have had his own image rights. Unless there's something that we don't know, I find it difficult to believe that the money was a driving force for this change of heart. And the problem is, if you think that it was the Qataris pressuring him, putting, you know, with the World Cup coming up and maybe putting something else on the table, guys, then why string it out until now? Why string it out until the middle of May? That, to me, makes no sense to me either. So I'm at a loss here on many fronts. What I'm not at a loss at, though, is, you know, the guy is from Paris. He obviously feels that there's a bond there. I think that matters as well. The interesting thing is going to be what happens after the World Cup in Doha. A lot of people believe the circus is going to leave town. Financial fair play is kicking in, the new version, from 2023. I appreciate Lionel Messi will presumably be gone by then. But still, I don't see how you square the books when you've spent these enormous amounts of money.
Seems to me that he's just, I don't know, in some sense in a very comfortable zone there. The best players head to the best leagues, generally. Not always, there's always an anomaly somewhere, some outlier who'll just stay. But generally the best players, the best French players, I've always gravitated, you know, Platini to Italy, Zidane to Italy and Spain, Benzema. I mean, the list goes on. You can go back years. Because they are the best leagues, and that's where they go and they test themselves and they push themselves. So I'm kind of disappointed in a way from that perspective, that it just seems, as the guy said, it can't all have been about money, I would like to think. But I don't know, he's done what he's done in France, and what else has he to do in France? Right. He's won Ligue 1. They haven't won. There's no project there because Messi...
I was just going to say, in terms of the World Cup in Doha, there is another theory being floated out there, which is quite simply, he wants to win another World Cup. He wants to win that World Cup in Doha. And, you know, the nice thing about staying at Paris Saint-Germain is that really until December, it's fairly low key, right? You got some Champions League group games and pretty much that's it. You don't have the stress, the goldfish bowl of being at the Bernabeu with all the media attention and everything that brings and the early judgments and so on. So if somehow he is prioritizing the World Cup, and some people have suggested this, that in some ways this makes a lot of sense, because Paris Saint-Germain's tough games will come in the knockout stages, and that's going to be after the World Cup, and then maybe a year from now you reevaluate. That's the only other thing that, you know, I can think of from a sporting side to help explain this.
I got a feeling, Dan, when I'm a 90s footballer from England, I got that Alan Shearer feeling when he went from Blackburn to Newcastle. He had the offer to go to Manchester United. He knew that he would win a lot of titles there, but there were other reasons. He wanted to come home. He wanted to be a boyhood. He wanted to have that number nine shirt and everything. So maybe, and I think that is the maybe thing we don't know a lot about, how attached he is to Paris, how he attached to his neighborhood, he's attached to his family and friends and all that. And maybe try to explain some of this, because all the others we would have said yes to Real Madrid when you see it from a sports perspective.
Why is it taking so long to make this decision, though? Because if it's not about money, why is it taking so long?
Right.
Could have wrapped this up a while ago. PSG could have stopped sweating on it. Real Madrid could have looked at other irons in the fire, which I'm hoping they still have, because that's what every good club should do, is don't put all your eggs in one basket. But it seems like they put a hell of a lot of eggs in this particular basket. Yeah. But, you know, why? It's a bit of a head-scratcher. Why he's leaving it as long as he is, and you know, the PA, and I don't know if a player thinks that way about, you know, when you're coming up to a World Cup, what my league games are going to be, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you could break a leg first game of the season, nothing to do with you, and all of a sudden you're out for a year. So I just find it a little strange, and also I just don't see a project anymore at PSG. I see a bits and bobs club who are, you know, floating from one season to another. The Lionel Messi thing, and we talked about it with Kay on yesterday's show. Lionel Messi's at best 12 months away from taking a long time holiday over here in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen from this season, maybe not all through fault of his own, he's definitely scaling down. His performances are not the same. He's had injuries. I don't think the desire's quite there. Mother Nature's taken its course for him. It does for everybody. And he's already talking about other avenues, particularly here in America. So that's not really a project for Kylian Mbappe, just to stay there for another 12 months, 18 months to play with Lionel Messi. It's not Lionel Messi that was driving the Pep Guardiola side of 2011 and 12 and whatever. So, yeah, it's I'm sure pleasing for the French public, those that support Paris Saint-Germain. But as I say, until the Champions League comes round, nobody will really bat an eyelid about what Kylian Mbappe's doing. And clearly, he's not fussed about that.
Gab, obviously, we've heard the likes of Unai Emery, Thomas Tuchel talking about the power that players have at that club. And it seems like they're just completely now doubling down on that, in that Mbappe reportedly will have a say on who will come in, who will be the new coach, who will replace Leonardo because he doesn't get on with him. It's just going to be the Mbappe show.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that. I've seen those reports too, that he's been handed, you know, he's going to choose the new director of football and choose the new manager and make the lineup and design the new uniform and the club anthem and they'll rename the state. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think that's credible. Will they consult him? Of course, I'm sure they will consult him. But that's why it's also difficult to accept. I mean, Craig touched upon this, the idea that he's staying at Paris Saint-Germain for the project. I mean, if it's for the project, then you don't commit for 3 years. You commit for 5 years if you believe that there's a project there. But, of course, there is no project because you don't have a manager for next season. I mean, I'll be shocked if Pochettino is still there this time next week. You probably don't have a director of football, but I'll be shocked if Leonardo's still around. So you have to hire two key figures. We've had the Messi situation we've touched upon. We've had the Neymar situation we've touched upon. And by the way, Messi and Neymar's motivation in those league games and Champions League games leading up to the World Cup, which will, you know, may well be their final World Cup, you would have to really, really question. Mm. So I think, you know, arguing that it's about the project, I think it just makes you look silly. If on top of that you're going to double down and say that, oh, they've handed the, you know, they've sold the club to Mbappe and he gets to decide everything, I don't buy that for one second. I don't think it's that at all.
There's two times I want to be a fly in the wall this year.
Really?
Yeah. The first time was from Florentino Perez, realised that the Super League was absolutely crumbling in front of his eyes. And the second time is when the phone rang.
Well, apparently he got a WhatsApp message from Mbappe saying, thank you, but no thank you.
Can you imagine?
Gab, has Mbappe just played a blinder here and just kind of played PSG off with Real Madrid to get the best deal?
Again, we don't know these numbers, so it's really hard to say. We don't know to what degree they're to his advantage.
We know they're good numbers, Gav, we know they're sensational numbers, and we know they're better numbers than they would have been if there was just one club that had a contract on the table. Was he ever interested in Real Madrid, or was just this all hot air?
Absolutely.
Or all just the perfect kind of negotiating tool?
I think 100% he was interested in Real Madrid. I don't think there's any question. The amount of time and resources they devoted to it. And by the way, these things don't happen in a vacuum. I'm sure Jan can weigh in on this, but a big part of the reason why Real Madrid didn't move aggressively for Erling Haaland this summer was because they said, all right, we can't commit this much money in one go. There was even suggestions that they tried to persuade Dortmund or Haaland to stay at Dortmund for another year, and then we'll get Mbappe this year and Haaland next year. And, they simply couldn't go for both. And now in the meantime, what's happened is Manchester City, maybe they knew something we didn't, they snuck in there right away with Haaland. He's put pen to paper. And now, of course, from Real Madrid's perspective, they're left with nothing. They're left with a team that's won La Liga and that's in the Champions League final. But, no Mbappe. I know Haaland this summer. Mm. And so you have to start scrambling. So these pieces are all connected.
La Liga and Real Madrid have taken it extremely well, as you would imagine. They are threatening to sue PSG. This is what Tebas had to say. What PSG is going to do by renewing Mbappe with large amounts of money after giving losses of 700 million euros in recent seasons and having more than 600 million in salary is an insult to football. Al Khelaifi is as dangerous as the Super League. Super League's back in the conversation. Gab, a lot of people have messaged and a lot of extra time questions are asking, how can PSG get away with this?
All right, so the short answer is that financial fair play is suspended. It's been suspended since the pandemic. They agreed on a new model of it, and it's going to come back in 2023. So for this season, at least, they're good. And if Qatar does all move out of town and batten down the hatches after the World Cup, then it's not really going to matter. They're not really going to care what happens. That's why I think Tebas would have a point if the rules were in place and he felt that they weren't being enforced. There is a point to be made, I think, and maybe they're setting their stall out, saying, hey, once 2023 comes around, are we going to start enforcing the rules in a serious way? Because there's no way that Paris Saint-Germain can do this sustainably. They lost 225 million euros in the 2021 season. They lost 130 million the year before that. 21-22, we don't know how much they lost, but it's sure to be an enormous amount because, hey, look, they added Messi and Donnarumma and Ashraf Hakimi and Danilo and Wijnaldum. So we're pretty sure that they lost an enormous amount of money again this year. So there's no way that they can be compliant with UEFA's financial fair play. But there is no UEFA financial fair play right now. So that's why I think it's going to come up short. But at some point, they're going to have to cross this bridge.
It's going to pop up. Financial fair play is going to pop back up in 2023 as Statler and Waldorf. Somebody's going to be walking them. Hello, we're back. Hello.
Worst sequel ever.
It is interesting that Al Khelaifi, the guy at PSG, he can talk to the guy who runs the league in Europe. Aha. That's himself. And then he can talk to the Qataris who's doing the next World Cup. Aha. He's a part of that as well. So I think that is down to a funny, it's just like a joke now, what is going on. I think that the letter or the mail or whatever they're doing these days. Yes. Say, Gab.
Yeah, you forgot. There's one other guy he can talk to. Jan, Nasser Al-Khelaifi can also talk to the man who runs beIN Sport and therefore buys a big chunk of the Champions League TV rights and helps fund UEFA that way. And that man, of course, it's also Nasser Al-Khelaifi.
the good thing about this is that, like, the year that they are supposedly they're going to sign Mbappé, they suspend financial fair play, okay? And make this joke even worse is that the Spain, who's done this Galacticos Super League thing now for years, they are sending a letter. I mean, we don't need comedians anymore. They are in football. We don't need them. These are the jokes.
I think we have to be fair to Tebas and to Spain here, because La Liga introduced their own version of spending limits. And I think whatever else you may think of Tebas, they have enforced them. And they've enforced them in a very tough way. You can just go and ask any Barcelona fan about that, about the cuts and the sacrifice they had to make and the players that they had to sell and so on. Now, whether this continues or not, we'll see. But I think from Tebas' perspective is we put in these spending limits to make our league viable and so on. We had the courage to go and take on a club like Barcelona, whereas in the past we could have just looked the other way and been like, hey, you want to sign another Trincao? Here you go. And sure, you know, extend Messi's deal at infinitum. But instead, you know, there's a feeling in Spain that we have tough rules and we've lived by those tough rules. And we took one of our two biggest clubs to the brink of insolvency to enforce those rules. Now we expect Paris Saint-Germain to do the same. But the problem is different rules in France.
But the problem is, Gab, if I may say, and that is a fair point, what you're saying. And if they try to clean up the football, it's good. But just today, there was in that there was the first bid from Barcelona, who has no money, for a 34-year-old German player or a Polish player called Robert Lewandowski. That was 32 million euro. And it may go up to 40, 50. And that's from a club who has no money. So I think that is the funny thing. Right. And you signing players on a free. I mean, never have a player on free be more expensive than they are now. Alaba from Bayern Munich, we know his numbers. Rudiger, he's not coming for free from Chelsea, is he? And so on and so on. That was my point. I think that the ones in charge, they have the best will to do it, but still, then they can't sign any player in the world. They were after Haaland as well. They wouldn't have got him on a free, the Spanish football.
The money situation is complex, and I generally, as all you guys know, don't really get too involved in other people's business in terms of financial fair play, as Gab well knows.
That's a very fair, nice way of putting it.
Yeah, well, I just think from a football decision, I don't think, for me, this is not a very good decision. I think from a football perspective, I think you want to see the best players in the best leagues and the best teams competing in every week, and we're not going to see that now. That's a shame. So I think just from a football perspective, that's slightly disappointing or very disappointing. I mean, it could have been Real Madrid, it could have been Barca, it could have been Bayern Munich, it could have been Milan or Juve or Chelsea or City or Liverpool. I don't really care. But I just, from a football perspective, staying in France just smells to me as if I'm very, very comfortable.
Real Madrid throwing their toys out the pram, though, it's kind of difficult to feel sorry for them, given what has happened in the past.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, that's what transfers are all about. That's what discussions and talks are all about. You don't always get what you think you're going to get. Now, the financial side of it's a different story, and Gab's pointed that out. They're running a different ship in Spain now, and they have enforced that. And we've seen it firsthand this year. We've discussed Barcelona almost all season, and we saw at the start of the season how perilous it was for them with people they couldn't even register that they'd signed. So they have enforced that. However, as Gab mentioned, the rules elsewhere are not, it's not the same. So the trouble is because you're doing one thing doesn't mean other people are going to do the same thing. So it's football, it's transfers, it's decisions. And ultimately, the player has made a decision. This is not just about money. Kylian Mbappe, as an individual here, you can talk about the ownership and the club and spending this and offering them this. The money at some point has to be inconsequential because it's so much.
Right.
It's so much money. And Real Madrid were offering them a really good stick as well. He's made a decision. You can't sue the player for making a decision. And that's what we've got here, a guy who's decided to stay, I think, disappointingly, in Paris.
But it's an important point that Gab made, Dan, if I may. It's about the Haaland thing and the Mbappé thing, because you put a lot of thought into which club you will go to, and everybody expected Mbappé to do his decisions earlier. to see where it's going. And I guess that everybody now, this dynamic that he will wait so long to make his decision, there's going to be a lot of influence to a lot of players, because now Real Madrid need another striker. Will Lewandowski, I don't think Lewandowski will go to Real Madrid now that he's been flirting so much with Barcelona, but it was always a dream of him playing for Real Madrid. That discussion will be up again. And back in, we expected Haaland's decision to be made back in the beginning of April. That took time. That could be one of the reasons, because Mbappé needed to decide. He was the key here. And he's been waiting and waiting on that. So I think that's going to be interesting to see what kind of contract he's done. That must be your job, Gab, to find out. But you maybe find a contract that will have a clause after 1 year, if that's going to happen, and so on and so on.
A lot more talk on Mbappe on Extra Time. Gab and Jan will be back to answer your questions there. Craig, of course, will be with us as well. Meanwhile, away from Kylian Mbappe, is the final day of action at the Premier League on Sunday, with still the title to be decided. Of course, it's all in Manchester City's hands. A victory against Aston Villa will see them retain the championship. Meanwhile, if they drop points and Liverpool get that win at Anfield against Wolves, then it'll be Liverpool who are champions. This is what Pep Guardiola had to say about the Premier League. It's more difficult than the Champions League. Winning 38 games is different from winning 6 or 7. Of course, City looking to make it 4 out of the last 5. Yeah, what are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at, because my maths don't go up here. If it's easier to win the Champions League than the Premier League, why doesn't he win the Champions League then? I don't get it. But that's another thing. Although he has a point. He has a point, though. I understand what he's saying, but it's just funny again that it's coming from Pep Guardiola. But it's going to be an unbelievable day tomorrow, and I guess Pep Guardiola, like everybody else, will be very, very nervous tonight.
Is he right? Awesome. We discussed on yesterday's show a couple of ex-Man United players.
Right.
Evra and Berbatov, suggesting that Guardiola cannot handle and manage any players with personality and ego and big players. And I just think that's absolute nonsense. He's done it brilliantly. The Champions League has been a bugbear for his time at Man City and his time at Bayern Munich. And there's a lot of people that continue to throw that mud at Guardiola. And I suppose until he does it outside Barca, that will continue. However, you know, you look at the players that he's worked with, he's managed, that he's kept happy. And that's the big part of it as well. He's not only managing these big clubs, but to keep, and I suppose Jurgen Klopp's in the same scenario, to keep all these players who are effectively starting players who are not starting, if that makes sense. You know, like say Gundogan, sometimes Mahrez, sometimes Sterling, sometimes Foden, Gabriel Jesus, all these players, to keep them happy and in a frame of mind that when you do need them and you do rotate, they come in and their attitude is fantastic, I think speaks volume to his management. I think it would be nonsense and was nonsense to suggest that he can't cope with anybody with a personality, as if Vincent Kompany, Kevin De Bruyne, et al. Don't have personalities. I expect him to win tomorrow. I don't think it'll be simplistic, because I think Villa will put up a real fight, and not because Steven Gerrard is an ex-Liverpool player, because you always want to finish the season strongly. And I think for those reasons, Liverpool are going to have to put a really strong team out against Wolves. And we know they've got this Champions League final. We know they've got players carrying niggles. We know they've got players that have played a lot of games and are fatigued. They've been in every competition. But I don't think they can... It's going to be a difficult choice for Jurgen Klopp, because he wants to think about the week after, but he wants to think about if there's a potential slip-up at the Etihad. But then you've got all these injuries. So that's going to be a real difficult team for him. For Guardiola, it's simple. He picks his best 11 and they go for it.
Is the Premier League harder to win than the Champions League?
Well, I think if you were to ask Liverpool, they'd say yes. Liverpool have had success in recent years in the Champions League. They've had success recently in the Champions League, winning it and losing it, but getting there. But I've only been over the line once in the Premier League recently. So it's a difficult one. I mean, it's a bit like we've seen Man City lose at Wembley to Wigan in the FA Cup. Cup competitions sometimes throw up serious anomalies. Generally, 38 games or whatever it is in whatever league you follow is a true guide to who is the best team. I think it's a 50-50 call to say what is more difficult.
Gav, this is right up your street. You've said this for many years now, that the Champions League is a lottery.
Yeah, let me make this very, very simple, right? If you're the best team in the league, it's easier to win a league than it is to win a Champions League, for the reasons that Craig said, that because there's so many individual games where you can slip up and then you go out because it's a knockout competition. If you have a horrendous game or even a horrendous month in the Premier League and you're the best team, you can still win it. So if you're, you know, if you're a bad team, then it's hard to win both, but then it's easier to win the Champions League. But if you're, you know, the best team in your league, it's certainly easier to win the Premier League than it is to win the Champions League. I don't think there's any argument there, because over 38 games, the best or second best team generally win it.
Jan, you've been back in Liverpool right from the start. You changed your mind yet?
No, I haven't. I've thought this through, as I do you, Dan. I've going into my temple of thoughts.
No one wants to go in that temple. It's very, very empty, very spacious.
I am a man of things that happen for a reason. That Steven Gerrard will go back, yes, for different reasons. Not but Steven Gerrard is so desperate for Liverpool to win the league, as I guess he is as well. But it's just like football, they write their own rules. I can see the headlines, I can see the history. We will think back of that Sunday when Steven Gerrard gave Liverpool the Premier League title. Just watch tomorrow, you'll see.
Wow, Jan's sticking to his guns. Gab, are you believing, have you been in Jan's temple?
I'd love to go into Jan's temple and drink some of Jan's Kool-Aid, because you know what, it would make for a tremendous story. But I think the facts are, and I realize everybody wants to win and end the season on a high, but Wolves have zero to play for. Liverpool are bruised and battered through injuries. You know, even I know he praised all of the Ferraris in the garage, but you know, winning 2-1 away to the Southampton B team, as they did in midweek with your B team, tells me that, you know, your B team is nowhere near as good as your A team. And I think you're looking ahead to the Champions League final as well. And of course, if they both win, then City are champions. So all those things together, it would have to be City screwing up. The only reason I would want that to happen is that is if it happens because another defense, some more defenders get injured and sent off, and then I'd be vindicated with my the argument that I was ridiculed for about City's depth and the decision to go with just 17 outfield players.
Now, people had forgot about that, Gab, but you keep bringing it up. You should never bring this.
Doesn't things. Sound like ridicule. We'd never do that to you, Gab, man of your stature. Meanwhile, Champions League still to be decided as well. For Spurs, it's simple, isn't it? Don't lose.
Yeah, particularly now Everton are safe, so Arsenal, that should be an easier game. But yeah, I think Norwich City relegated, cannon fodder.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be a holy blowing it up if Tottenham were not to take advantage of this.
It would be the ultimate Spursy, etc., etc. Go on, yeah.
Exactly, Alec. I've got so many Tottenham friends, they won't believe you, Craig. They won't sleep an hour tonight. They know this is so typical Tottenham. This is so typical Tottenham to lose 1-0 for some long shot from somewhere. And Arsenal will win in the last minute. All
Josh
my
Sargent.
Friends are thinking the same. Yeah, exactly. With an overhead kick or something. They know that. The Spurs people know that. They won't know it before. It's 100%. There's no chance that they will be relaxing tonight.
Neither, of course, will be the fans of Burnley or Leeds as well. Fate is in Burnley's hands, basically. They just have to match the Leeds result and they will be fine. I forgot who they're playing. Who's everyone playing?
Leeds are playing Brentford.
Leeds got Brentford away and Burnley at home against Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, well, I mean, if you're Burnley, you've got to try and get that victory, haven't you, obviously. Both have had decent seasons in the end. Newcastle have came on strong since the new signings and the change of manager. Brentford under Thomas Frank, first season in the Premier League. I think that's an amazing job. But both are safe. And I suppose if you're Leeds, in particular, You're playing a team who have just been promoted, playing a team who don't have a lot to play for now. So you would think that they have a better chance of getting a result, but I just feel Burnley are set up more to be able to scratch out a point or whatever it is they need. I just, Leeds have been so haphazard, I just don't know what we're going to get from them. So I think Burnley might just get enough and it could be a point.
Who you got, Gab?
You know, I would have said Leeds, and I've been banging the Leeds drum all along because I think they're more talented, they're more unpredictable, and, you know, it's 3 points for a win and 1 point for a draw. And so I think risk-taking is rewarded. However, after seeing Newcastle, the way they celebrated at St. James Park, and rightly so, after beating Arsenal on Monday, I kind of thought, man, these guys, they look as if their season has just ended and they're all ready to go on holiday. I hope for Leeds' sake that I'm wrong, because obviously I think Newcastle present more of a challenge. I actually think Leeds match up very well with Brentford in terms of style of play. I think Brentford's got the same thing. They've had a successful season. I think they've got the on-the-beach mentality. I can see Leeds winning. Problem is, I can see Burnley winning as well.
The problem is, when you think back and you don't think too much about it at the time, I suppose, when they got walloped for the second year in a row. I think it was the first game of the season at Old Trafford. And then I think in Bielsa's last three games or there, but whatever it is, they got walloped by umpteen amount of goals. And you think, well, and it could come down to it. It could come down to the fact that they've been just losing goals for fun and they were so open and, yeah, it was great and, wow, this is the Bielsa way and fantastic, we attack and we do this. And obviously they lost Bamford, so their goals at the other end has been diminished, so that's not helped. But all those goals that they've shipped, those cheap ones in the end, could be the difference between them staying in this division and not.
We'll, of course, be looking back at all of the action the final day of the Premier League and indeed La Liga on the next edition of ESPN FC. It's said to be a busy show.
There's a few people having trouble speaking today.
It's Saturday, isn't it? We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Leipzig recorded their first ever piece of silverware in the club's history, beating Freiburg on penalties after it finished 1-1 in the German Cup final. Jan, how big a statement then is this from Leipzig going forward?
It's a big statement for them to win that first trophy, absolutely. And we were talking about Leeds with Jesse March, he was leaving them and Tedesco came in. and put him into winning a trophy, get him into Champions League, done a fantastic job there. This is the third time they've been in the final. A guy called Ralf Rangnick and another guy called Julian Nagelsmann never managed to do that. So that is a main thing. But it was an interesting final because there was a lot of thing going on. First, Eggestein, the first goal of Freiburg was a clear handball from Schalai when the ball was passed back. And nothing happened, and they got a 1-0. I'm not 100% agree with Craig that red card was so clear. I'm sure that he is kicking his own feet, but that is another thing we can discuss another day. And then, of course, Freiburg, the charmant team from Freiburg, with Streich, who's been there for years and years. And then when it coming to penalties, and the commentator said that Streich has been in junior finals with Freiburg, and they always win in the penalties. And then Captain Günther was the first one missing, and he's been with Streich all his life. And that is how football history are made. And it was a fantastic day in Berlin. I know we should stop saying that there's only England who got a cup tradition. I mean, the cup tradition in Berlin, fantastic. And you saw the atmosphere as well. Great. Between two very different teams, with one kind of commercialized team against the charming Freiburg. So the good and the bad was set up in Germany tonight.
Sorry, I didn't. That was the first time I'm seeing that replay there. I'm very perturbed.
Oh, you upset that Jan's called you out?
Obviously, I didn't. It might be a big competition in Germany, but I didn't. I don't care.
Nice.
I've got fair enough, no interest.
So I looked at me as if it was a little pool, but I stand corrected.
Okay, all right then. Yeah.
We'll move on.
Away from that, this is what Xavi had to say about Lewandowski and his future. Lewandowski is an option. He has said he wants to leave. There are negotiations. Oliver Kahn responded saying, "This isn't a question for us. Robert Lewandowski has a contract until 2023 and he will fulfill it. Bayern is not and will not become a development club."
Brilliant. Are you developing players in the 30s? Well, let's sell on people in the 30s.
So that's it, Jan. It's done. Lewandowski is going to be there till the end of his contract.
And tomorrow you will have another show. Then Oliver Kahn will say something else. Then Heiner, the president, will say something else. And Salihamidžić will say something else. And Monday, they will change views again. And Robert Lewandowski is sitting in the dressing room talking Polish. That is the best Bild-Zeitung story of the weekend. When he actually is talking on his phone in the dressing room, in his native language, of course. And the only thing they can understand is FC Barcelona, FC Barcelona, FC Barcelona. This is going to be continued. But Bayern Munich can end up doing what they're doing at the moment. They're letting players go on free. So right. Keep him for one more year. They're losing the best striker in the world on free. They lost David Alaba on a free. They lost Süle on a free. They lost Boateng on a free. And so on and so on. And those are the days at Munich at the moment.
Jan, you probably know Lewandowski better than any of us, in a sense that how will he react if he's made to stay?
Well, there is a fair thing to say that when he was told to stay in Dortmund 1 year and then go on free to Bayern, he was fantastic. The problem then, he was a young, hungry player who saw that as a step. Now he's getting into his 34. He will think of his last contract 2 or 3 years, get it forward in time. And he will probably know that this is my last chance to get another adventure. So I don't think you can compare with that. He'll probably professional, but I think that the way Bayern Munich have handled this is scandalous. He asked for negotiations 1 year ago, 1 year ago. And they said, we got it all under control, and now no control at all.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to say it's going to be really interesting. And Oli Kahn, of course, Jan is right. Oli Kahn's the same guy who said, well, we have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D,
yeah.
You know, reference to Lewandowski's future. So, you know, it's like, you know, walking contradiction. But the interesting thing, I think, is we haven't mentioned them. And I don't want to upset Liverpool fans in this moment in time and give them something else to think about vis-a-vis Real Madrid. But stay tuned for this. Obviously, with Mbappe not going, Real Madrid are sitting on a big pot of money. And I think realistically, they need a third striker or a third forward to team up with Benzema and Vinicius. And, oh, gee, look, who is it that has two exceptional strikers who are both, like Lewandowski, 1 year away from free agency, and are also younger than Lewandowski, and are also wide players, unlike Lewandowski. And of course, that's Mo Salah and Sadio Mane. I will bet you dollars to donuts that in the next week, that is the next big link that we're going to see in the press. And there's going to be English people saying, you're trying to destabilize them ahead of the Champions League final and so on. I think it's absolutely inevitable.
What sort of donuts, Cam?
You know what? I kind of like those jam donuts.
Oh, yeah.
But I am flexible. The frosted ones are good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boston cream. Boston cream is my go-to.
Well,
nice.
I don't eat unhealthy food. Like that.
Your body's a temple.
Nuts and stuff.
Meanwhile, the Europa League, of course, saw Eintracht Frankfurt win the final against Rangers. These were the scenes, of course, within the Frankfurt Stadium. 50,000 supporters celebrating. Then, of course, we saw the celebrations afterwards as well in the press conference. And then the scenes were extraordinary, weren't they, as the team returned back to Germany. Here they were. Look at this. Unbelievable stuff. Jan, where were you in this?
Well, you know, I will start with some technical thing. I was at a game, I was working at a game, and the night before, UEFA said, Jan, you can do the super flash, meaning I could be on the pitch and do my interviews. I don't do that often. It's the second time I've done it. I've done it in a Super Cup final before. And then, but they told me, you will go with the winner. So I had to have my former club to win that. So I was lucky enough to be able to do the interviews with the players. I still got great connection with the club. A lot of my friends are there, and a lot of the leaders I know very well. So that was an unbelievable experience to go with him. I was at the party till 3:30. Then they said, Jan, why don't you go with a plane back to Frankfurt? But then I have to stop. I didn't go back there. But it was unbelievable. 200,000 people meeting them in Frankfurt on the Römer Platz. And you saw that. It was passionate. And it was good as well. It was a good final. You have to give also credit to Rangers. There were two set of fans who made a fantastic atmosphere in Sevilla. And you saw in the stands, because I mean, people were buying tickets from everywhere. They said there were 150,000 people there, and there were like 30,000 coming into the stadium from the two set of fans. And you saw blue and white next to each other. And what I saw and what I heard, it was quite peacefully. So I think that was a fantastic final, and it was also fantastic for Eintracht Frankfurt to be kind of best of the rest. It's a well-run club. It's a team without big stars. So that was a great night. And you see behind me now that my Frankfurt shirt is getting more and more goldish.
Yeah, that was pretty much on the outside of your shop back in the day. Just remembered about your Frankfurt love. Just a reminder then, very much at the other end of the spectrum, of course, it's the battle to stay in the Bundesliga for Hertha Berlin. They're taking on Hamburg, the second leg of that time. Of course, down 1-0. Hertha's down 1-0 going into the tie. 2:30 Eastern on ESPN+. Lyon are once again your Women's Champions League winners after beating Barcelona by 3-1 in Turin. All of the action really happening in the first half, where Lyon would take a 3-0 lead. Barca getting one back before the break, but couldn't add more to that tally in the second half. And Lyon then win their 8th Champions League title. They've won 6 of the last 7 finals. Well, let's go to Turin. Gemma was at the final. Gemma, this was all about the first half, and that was so impressive. That opening 40 minutes from Lyon was something special.
Yes, it was, Dan. They proved that they are better. They are the queens of Europe. And they, especially in the physicality, they were so much superior than Barcelona. They didn't have a chance. I think they also made some mistakes on strategy and not putting enough pressure. And probably we could wonder what happened if Oshoala, that she really shaked the attack in the second half, where they couldn't really play because Olympique Lyon was trying not to let anything happening, not too many action. So they didn't have a chance, and OL proved, I mean, they have the double of the budget than Barcelona, and they proved that last season for them it was kind of an accident. They lose their biggest star, Ada Hegerberg, was injured most of the season. So They are better than Barcelona. We were very excited before this game because it really was a final with an excellent narrative, the two better teams in this moment in history, and well, OL proof that they are in a higher step, and Barcelona needs to to think of what do they have to do. When they were defeated in 2019 final in Budapest against OL, all the players, Alexia Putellas, they said that was really useful to learn to stand up and to reach that level. I think they have to do the same because they didn't play well today. It was not good enough.
Yeah, Gemma, it's interesting, isn't it, considering their form in La Liga, absolutely perfect, winning every single match and scoring goals for fun. Are you surprised there was such a golfing class today between Lyon and Barcelona? I know you mentioned the budget, but do you think the occasion maybe got to the Barcelona players slightly?
Yeah, I think there was a problem with the euphoria, this team. It was one of the things to take into consideration because they break capacity crowd records. They have a 30-game winning streak. There was this euphoria surrounding them. And to deal with that, I think it was some kind difficult because in the last two games in La Liga, yeah, they win, but with a lot of problems to Rayo Vallecano and Atletico Madrid. I think something happened with dealing with that euphoria. And also I think that La Liga, they need to reflection. It's going to be professional just next year, but the level that La Liga is showing right now is not good enough for women. I mean, in Barcelona City, not Barca, they are professional, but Espanyol, their rivals. The players are professional because they work selling t-shirts in the shop, and then they train, and then they play. Barcelona dealing every day, every week with this kind of level, that they need a little step back. We'll see what happens next year with the professionality, because in the physicality, Olympique de Lyon was so much superior, so they need to take one step ahead of them, otherwise it will be impossible. Actually, they have never been able to beat OL. It's their absolutely nemesis, of course.
Gemma, as always, thank you very much. So here it is then, La Liga matches on Sunday. All starts with Elche against Getafe, Osasuna against Mallorca. Now, these games kick off at 2. Our coverage starts at 1:30. Of course, those three big matches for Mallorca, for Cadiz and Granada, all looking to avoid relegation. Meanwhile, the European place is still yet to be set. Barca take on Villarreal, Real Sociedad against Atleti, and it's Sevilla against Athletic Club. A busy day of action, all of those games live on ESPN Plus. It's also the final round of matches in Italy as well, and it's all about the two Milan sides, isn't it? Milan have fate in their own hands. If they get that win against or draw against Sassuolo, then that's it. They are good. Meanwhile, Inter need things to go their way if they're going to retain the title. Here it is then. Here's how things stand going into the final round of matches. Gab Marcotti, Milan's going to do this, aren't they?
It's Milan's to lose. Of course, they have lost titles on the last day of the season before. And also, Sassuolo are a very, very unpredictable team. They're Serie A's box of chocolates. You never know what they're going to get. They're fearless. They're capable of scoring. They're capable of conceding goals, too. So I don't think this is something Milan want to take for granted at all. A draw would be sufficient, as you said, even if Inter win, because they finish level on points and Milan would have the tiebreaker by virtue of the head-to-head. But it's not a chance you want to take. And if you're Inter, all you can do is say, let's pump Sampdoria full of goals and hope that Sassuolo's young guns go and somehow upend Milan. Stranger things have happened, so stay tuned.
Indeed, and if you want more on the final round of matches in Italy, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available to download over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. What a treat Saturday you're here, Craig.
Yeah, well, I had a choice this week.
Oh, there you are.
I was given a choice. I don't normally get choices, but I got a choice. A lot of choices.
There you are. Good.
My choice was this. Bad choice, I must tell you. Yep. Bad choice.
Gab is here, as is Jan. So many questions.
Somebody says Jan will be back from Frankfurt,
yep,
and he'll have sobered up from the celebrations, and I said, how will we know?
Well, that's true. Jan, why didn't you get on the plane and just go with the players to Frankfurt if you're invited?
Yeah, because I didn't win it, Dan. I mean, I was a fan. I was a fan and working as a journalist on the game. I had my shirt in my bag, but I think there should be a limit of that. I mean, there was enough hanger on, so I went somewhere else and did another great job that you will see soon.
Mm. Well, what did you do, Jan?
I will tell you later.
Oh, it's Haaland, isn't it? Haaland.
That's his Mbappe to Real Madrid thing stuff.
Yes.
He's doing a big face.
Haaland's going on. Can I get to Madrid now?
He's now going to be spending half of his life in Manchester.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Yeah, completely. Just stalking Haaland as he did in Dortmund.
He will. He'll be in Manchester.
Craig, would Mbappe winning the Champions League in Paris and becoming the league all-time top goal scorer next season outweigh anything he could achieve in Madrid next season?
No. You want me to expand on
that? Yes, I'd like you to go a little deeper if you want.
Okay. No.
No? Why not?
I don't think they'll win the Champions League. They could. It might happen. French League.
Go for it, Craig. Go for it, Craig. You'll do it.
Look, the French League is okay. There's some good teams in the French League. Don't get me wrong, some good players. But it's not a destination league.
Right.
For the elite world players from South America, wherever it is, and other places in Europe and Asia and all that. It's not a destination place. So it's good, but it's not really resonating much, I'm sorry.
Have we got the front page of Marca? Should we show the front page of Marca here? This is what it led with on, this will be Sunday's edition.
Well,
we don't have it. I thought we had it. But it says it takes a lot of class to play for Real Madrid, with a picture of Kylian Mbappe signing his contract till 2025. Yeah. They're taking it very well, Gab. Of course, is that it? Is it like he'll never play for Real Madrid ever?
Look, I think a lot is going to depend, I think, on what happened in the past couple of weeks, and I think what the next weeks bring. I know we heard the story about Florentino getting a WhatsApp and whatever. Jan alluded to this on the show. We don't have any details yet about his contract. Now, if I were Mbappe, I would say, listen, all right, I'll sign a 3-year contract for show, but I want a release clause in a year's time, because that gives me then the power to do what I want. Maybe this is what happened. I mean, I'm purely speculating here. I'm thinking what I would do if I was Mbappe. If you're Paris Saint-Germain at this stage, I mean, let's just be realistic, right? Let's cut through the BS, right? Messi's there, he's parked there, you're paying a fortune for him. Neymar's there, he's parked there, you're paying a fortune for him. The World Cup is in November, and then after that, all bets are off about what happened to the Qatari ownership. So if Mbappe goes to you and says, look, all right, I'll sign your contract, we'll have another go, we'll win, but I want a release clause so I can get out of here in a year's time, and go to Madrid, go somewhere else, because that's what I want to do, right? Those are my terms. If you're Paris Saint-Germain, are you really going to say no to that? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to say, no, it's got to be 3 years, Kylian. No. So, when I put these things together, I don't see why it's impossible for this to continue, unless Florentino feels that he's been humiliated by this process, unless he feels that he's been used. Mm. And it's entirely possible, because look, this leaves Real Madrid in a very bad place, right? No Haaland, no Mbappe. You got to figure this out somehow. So unless he's the type of person to bear a grudge, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that because Florentino's a businessman, because he's worked in construction, or owns construction companies around the world, the guy's got a good pair of stones on him, and he's had his setbacks, and he doesn't hold grudges. He understands it's business, and I think if that's the scenario, if he gets Mbappe in a year's time, I think he's okay with it. If he has to wait 3 years until this contract expires, Mbappe will still be just 26. I don't think he's going to shut the door on it. I don't think he's that kind of person.
Is your boy Haaland regretting his decision, Jan?
No, not at all. I have just my opinion because I don't think that they've been through that process and they choose Manchester City. Real Madrid lost out on Erling Braut Haaland and lost out on Mbappe. But I'm with Gab. There is no chance in the world that Mbappe will play there in Paris for 3 years. He doesn't give a free transfer away for fun. He will get all the money in the world. I won't take it all the way, but it's getting late in Norway. So I will nearly say that I'm surprised if he's going to play one season there. And I think the only thing that can guarantee now is that he will play there over the World Cup. I think we may have the same conversation in January.
Oh, Craig, you look forward to that.
I can also
clip this. Remember this.
Yeah, but it's because he got all cards in his hands. He's not only have the best cards; he got all 52 cards in his hands. So he could put a clause in that he can go in the winter transfer window. It may be in there somewhere. So this is all about getting over the Qatari World Cup, and then we'll take it from there, I think.
Oh, but Mbappe up. Before today, I had Mbappe up to about here.
Right.
And today, I'm up to here, somewhere here.
And Benzema, of course, put on his Insta story, didn't he? His finger kind of pointing up to Real Madrid. It's like, I'm with Real Madrid. And what else did he say, Gam?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see Benzema's Instagram story when you're doing the show with you.
Oh, well.
Who follows his Instagram stories?
Millions. Like, millions. Literally millions and millions of people do.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
Okay, let's
we're not a lot better to do.
Let's change subject for a moment. For Craig, who would you pick of the ESPN crew to be your agent? That's from one for another. You never had an agent, did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. A couple.
I didn't have an agent.
Oh, well, there you are.
I would take Craig.
Yeah.
Shaka.
Shaka?
Shaka?
Shaka.
Send him in.
It was against Stevie in there. He'll come out and go, I've got you shepherd's pie for life.
I got you
a golf club that's free.
Well, what happened was, we're having these discussions and I had this private thing and I replied all on the email, as I always do.
Oh, Stevie loves a reply all on emails that we all got yesterday once again.
I don't know, he could be a bit of a nasty sod.
I'd want you, Craig.
Me?
Yes. I definitely want you as my agent going in there. Because you are just ruthless.
But what about Don? What about Don going to negotiation? And Don was, instead of 5%, he would say 50%. And then you suddenly, and then the manager, and then the president would say, okay, let's say 30 then. And he would say, okay. So I would have Don. Absolutely.
Oh my God, imagine that.
I am a bit ruthless with stuff like that, I must admit.
Yeah. Stubborn.
My, as you well know from here.
Yes. Yeah.
Our boss's boss was saying, don't ask him. Stevie, no. No.
No. No. Of course.
Just not happening.
No. Definitely.
At least Shaq's got a bit of.
Frank, they might just give it just to shut him up.
Yeah.
All right. just shut up, Frank. Just take this.
Don would get it all wrong.
Don would.
If he was Don, you'd actually be on less than you were on the year before.
Yeah, he would be horrendous.
Yeah, but percentage-wise, it's going to be better overall.
Oh yeah. No, exactly.
Well, Don would say something like, "Well, I've put on Twitter."
Yes, you are.
I was calling that game.
Is Mbappe staying at PSG good?
I can hear him now with this guy.
Okay, Gab. Is Mbappe staying at PSG? Well, no, let's do you, Jan, because you're Champions League man. Is Mbappe staying at PSG good for Champions League viewers? Instead of a Champions League finalist this year adding a young megastar, it spreads out. Top world talent making one more top team to make Champions League more exciting. Neutral fans don't want next year to be just three super teams, Real Madrid, Liverpool and City.
Well, I'm not, well, we've discussed that at the show today. I mean, that you can win knockouts games and all that and it's easier and so on and so on. And Pep Guardiola apparently says it's easier to win the Champions League. But okay, but now I would have loved, I must say, I would have loved to see Mbappe at Real Madrid. I think that would be fantastic. And we've seen Real Madrid, they're in the final now. They could have been out a couple of rounds ago. So I'm not fear that it will be a Super League kind of thing. It's been, I mean, I've got some breaking news for all fans. We've had in the Champions League a Super League for many years. Most of the teams who's been going all the way and being in semi-finals or the quarter-finals have been the wealthiest club anyway. So I wouldn't say a big difference there. He's staying at PSG now. Makes that PSG game maybe a bit more entertaining, but you've still got Neymar and Messi there. So, but I would love to see him around Real Madrid shirt.
For Gab, anyway, Chelsea can get rid of Lukaku and sign Lewandowski.
Question.
Again, I'm sorry. I know that we're all supposed to say Lukaku's overweight and he's lazy and he's horrible and he's mean. He's not. He's substantially younger than Lewandowski, who, by the way, I believe turns 34 in August. Lewandowski would be making a lot more money than Lukaku. It's difficult to shift Lukaku because nobody's going to give you anywhere near what you paid for him. Why would you do this? Why would you sell Lukaku? I'm always, is the plan sell Lukaku to Real Madrid because they've missed out on Mbappe and buy sign Lewandowski for what? For a year? For 2 years? And you're back to square one? I think the Lukaku hate, you know, it's got to be modulated. They made a commitment. They committed a lot of money. Right now, they don't even have a new owner anymore, right? They're still waiting for this freaking government license. If it doesn't get renewed on May 31st, they'll cease trading anyway. So why don't we just pump the brakes on this one a little bit? Let Lewandowski be there and listen to Oliver Kahn, because he always speaks the truth. He has a contract, he will fulfill the contract.
I'm not necessarily talking about, I'm not necessarily summarizing this about Lewandowski, but Gab, Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel, ownership, whoever it is, fan base, can ill afford to stumble along for another season with a front line that's not operating, with a front man who there is a huge doubt whether he's going to be able to do it for Chelsea at a level they need to bridge the gap to Liverpool and City. I mean, can Chelsea afford to say, well, we've paid a lot of money for him, so we're just going to keep rumbling along with him and see if it works? Or do they try and cut the losses, get what they can, and move on somewhere else? I mean, they're almost 20 points off whatever they are off the top of the league. They can ill afford that to happen again.
That's one way to look at it, or you could look at it and say, like, we're the best non-freakishly good team in the Premier League. We reached two domestic cup finals, lost them both on penalties, and got knocked out of the Champions League in bizarro circumstances by Real Madrid after winning at the Bernabeu, where supposedly 90 minutes is an eternity, and blah 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 blah. We're not in such bad shape. If we have to sell money, if we have to sell players, maybe find somebody to take Timo Werner away, or Hakim Ziyech, or one of Ross Barkley, one of these other guys. You know, I think realistically, you can take a loss on a player, but it's difficult given Lukaku's wages that they signed him to, given the season he's had, and given the amount of money you paid for him, and the fact he's only been there 1 year, so it's not, you know, it's only been amortized a little bit. It's really, really difficult to move him on. And I think unless Tuchel says, no, I can't work with this guy, you go to him and you say, hey, Tommy, we're not in a good place right now, ownership-wise. Why don't you make it work with Lukaku last season or next season? And unless Tuchel says, no, it's either him or me, I can't work with this guy, and Axel Divish, And at that point, maybe you say, all right, maybe Tuchel, we want to keep Tuchel happy, we move him on. But I don't see that happening. In the end, they knew who they were signing when they signed Lukaku, and I don't think you can just write it off after one season.
Jan, was De Bruyne a voted player of the season solely based on the recent memory of his 4-goals haul? Because his numbers do not compare to both men in the Golden Boot race, those men are Son and Salah.
Was De Bruyne a voted player of the season solely based on the recent memories? I think that Kevin De Bruyne is a fantastic player. You can give it to him. There is a couple of other players you can give it to as well. But I, as our expert on this voting is Craig Burley, so I will be very carefully now with my words. But I think that De Bruyne deserve it.
So you got it? I didn't know. I missed it.
Yeah, you got it today. Phil Foden, young player.
Didn't pay any attention to it. But people get caught up. People get
is
caught
up. Is this the PFA vote?
Yeah,
no,
sure.
No, this is the Premier League vote.
Anyway, I mean,
it's a Premier
you know
League.
We love awards.
What's that? I'm sorry. What kind of like tin pot award is that?
It's voted by the fans.
There's the
fans,
PFA award Gav, from the
those
players
who dedicate themselves to the game. Tin pot is not how they were describing.
Exactly, and it just shows you how strong De Bruyne is.
Like, listen. They're true. Oh no, because it's all those men. Because Man City are a far more popular club and have many more hundreds of millions of fans worldwide than Liverpool, which is why De Bruyne won it, right? Is that what we're talking? Look, there's two awards that matter. Personally, I don't think any of these individual awards matter, but there's two that matter historically. One is the PFA award, which is voted on by the players. And even that, because the votes come in so early, I don't know how important that is. The other one is the Football Writers Award, which Stevie Nicol, of course, once won. And that's voted on by football writers. This Premier League award voted on by players over the internet, voted on by bots.
You don't like democracy.
What is this?
You don't like democracy.
Why are football writers' votes more important than fans, Gab? What's wrong with you?
Gab. No, you just explode yourself as the elitism of this football world. I mean, the fans could vote, and you spoke against yourself because if De Bruyne for Manchester City is winning, means that all Manchester United fans and all Liverpool fans in the world, they didn't get their players through. How good is Dev Kevin De Bruyne, you elitistic kind of Italian prince?
Yeah. Oh, God.
he must be a heck of a lot better and more popular than Mo Salah. That sounds like listen, I don't have a problem with De Bruyne winning, right? For me, De Bruyne and Salah are both fine choices. But I love it. Like, oh, look, we need some attention. Let's hire a PR company and let's make up another award, which wasn't here last year. And then let's go and get the media to talk about it. That's all we're talking about here. I mean, there's been an award. People voted De Bruyne or they voted for Salah or maybe they like Hongmin Son. Maybe it's Gerard Bowen. Would have been my choice, but whatever. And that's that. Let's stick with that.
And what about the what about the football writers? Have you seen Ballon d'Or or all these kind of international awards? When there is a football writer in some country, I won't mention any country, they're making players that we haven't heard of.
I know where
three,
you're going.
And that is the great thing. That is the great thing.
Yeah, look. I think that's nonsense too. I don't care about the Ballon d'Or. I think it's just become like a freak show popularity contest as well. And sometimes, look, I don't have a problem with the people who've won it because the last 15 years we've been blessed with Messi and Cristiano and it's hard to go wrong with one of those two. And I know it's very important to the players, but this isn't a measure of anything and we waste far too much time talking about it. And I feel like Craig Burley would probably agree with me.
No, the football fans, Gab, you take away the issue. The football fans, the voters, the shareholders of football have voted Kevin De Bruyne, and you say it's nonsense because some football writer can't vote. I mean, elitism at the highest level, Gab.
Please ask Jan, will he take responsibility for Haaland if he flops in Manchester City, just like Werner, Sancho and Havertz?
If I take the yes, of course I will. I put Werner, Havertz and all of them in England because I felt that was the right thing. So of course I will take the full responsibility.
Earlier this week, Craig referred to Nottingham
Forest. There's a money back guarantee, right, Jan?
Yep. Earlier this week, Craig referred to Nottingham Forest as we.
No, I didn't.
Thought everyone should know.
No, I didn't.
Apparently, Josh Hartley heard it.
Doubt it.
Gab, Craig actually really likes Forrest. Like, really?
He should do.
I know, but Craig doesn't like anything.
No, well, I mean, the fact that my son and, wait, my, and my grandson...
I thought there was a big Derby-Forest rivalry.
Yeah, there is, but unfortunately...
That's disappointing.
It was mentioned to me when I was a Derby County player that I did buy a house in Nottingham.
Right.
For reasons that will remain... undisclosed.
Oh, that sounds intriguing now.
However, now that my son is a season ticket holder at the City Ground and my grandson is absolutely mad on Forest, I have a keen eye on them.
Perfect. No, it's
nothing
nice.
Nothing Ooh, more, a keen nice. Eye.
Yeah, but I've never known you have a keen eye on anything since I've known you. What?
Yeah, I'm a bit of golf.
Yes, I know, but golf doesn't play in the Premier League.
Formula One.
Rugby doesn't play in the Premier League.
No, I've got a keen eye on them.
I hope they get promoted for that reason. Be nice.
Searching for tickets. I think I may have stumbled on a couple.
Oh, perfect. I'm sure Gab's got contacts. Gab's got contacts everywhere. It'll sort you out.
Anyway, back to the thing. No. Move on.
Jan, did you
ever... How many bloody questions as of the day?
There's two more.
Saturday.
There's two more. It's because Jan and Gab are on blabbering away.
Saturday. Tick. Last.
Jan, did you ever use a hairband in your footballing career?
No. No, I didn't. I love to be a Dutch striker with a long hair, the number 9.
Yeah.
And then I got a bit long, and if I missed the chance, I would always blame my hair. So I always have I had a short hair when I played. That's why now I take my long hair when I'm getting older. But as a football player, no. Well, I trained my son's team when he was 16, and I said, if any of you have a hairband, you won't play. So that was a rule.
They're all rubbish because they can see.
Sorry, Jan, that's not you. We're calling Gab elitist. That's really not very 2022.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, and Craig, imagine this. When my son played for Hamilton, Ayr and Greenock Morton, he played with a hairband. So I'm a bad, bad educator of my son.
Yeah, he's like all kids, they don't listen to you.
We learned yesterday, Craig, that your golf handicap is 2.
Actually, incorrect. Oh. As of this morning, it had gone up to 3.
Oh, well, there we go.
However, on the show yesterday, it was 2.
Right, there we are. Would you trade your golf handicap for the chance to have Jan's great hair instead?
What's wrong with that?
Well, you've got a little bit.
Excuse me, I think my hair's great.
Right, for the moment.
The areas that are still growing, I think, are great. So, and I'm fine with that.
Didn't your daughter throw you under the bus once? When it comes to your hair,
I'd still be here, wouldn't I? I'm still here.
With regards to your hair,
she may have brought up a product. Thank you very much. She may have brought up a product that I was trying out at the time, in front of one of my good friends who I was on holiday with.
And what was said products?
Well, my wife sent my daughter up to the hotel room in Miami, actually, a few years ago, to get something for our friends.
Right.
To do something. And my daughter said, is it next to Dad's special shampoo? Next to Dad's special shampoo, my good mate Rob, who was laying on the sun lounger, came up with that and went, special shampoo. He's on the phone to all my mates in Nottingham. Hey, he's got special shampoo. And this shampoo was supposed to just keep your hair nice and thick.
Right, it's like a thickening agent.
No, it wasn't a thickening agent. It was like, it was whatever.
Have you sued them? Have you sued them?
I stopped using it, Jan, many, many years ago. What happened, this is true, it's just keeps growing so thick, it was uncontrollable.
Really? Yeah. Just too much.
So, but she did, she said to Mummy, okay, Mum, I'll go and get it. Is it just next to Dad's special shampoo? And I was like, I'm gonna kill him.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, well, there's people we've had in this show. They've had the full bush off.
Yep.
Full, what do you call it?
Transplant. Yes. Yep. There you go.
And no, it's not Robbo and Frank LeBoeuf, because that would be a field trip.
Then you definitely would be getting your money back. That is that. ESPN FC is back on your screens. Would you go? Would you get that done?
Well,
if it was called upon, a hair transplant?
No, it's not called upon. I told you, it's not called upon.
No, you're close.
Because
you're
it's
close.
Coming.
It's the final day of the Premier League tomorrow. Join us.